Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry, featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two ministers of God's economy who served together in China for nearly 20 years. Watchman Nee was imprisoned by the Chinese government in 1952 and remained there until his death in 1972. Following his imprisonment, Witness Lee carried on this ministry in Taiwan and eventually in America and ultimately around the world. He served the Lord for more than 70 years before going to be with Him in 1997. His major contribution was through a 21-year labor he called Life Study, an exhaustive commentary on the entire Bible. This program is based on those messages. Before we join today's show, we'd like to give you our website where you can find more programs just like this one. It's lsmradio.org. Again, lsmradio.org. Now, here's our show today. We're all familiar with the Old Testament principle calling for an eye for an eye. This implies the penalty for serious crime was very severe in the dispensation of the law, and surely it was. Though an eye for an eye speaks of the righteous nature of God, it doesn't fully reflect His mercy and grace. As the children of Israel prepared to enter into the good land, they were given a much different provision to deal with offenders, and that was the six cities of refuge in which a guilty person could flee and be protected from his avenger. Here is another aspect of our God being displayed, and we all, as guilty ones, have benefited from taking safe refuge in God's place of refuge, today our Savior Christ. Dick Taylor has joined us to fellowship regarding the cities of refuge in Numbers 25. Interesting topic, Dick. Welcome back.
Thanks, Chris. You're right. Interesting topic. And I thank the Lord to the uttermost for this life study from Numbers. I don't think anybody ever realized what these cities of refuge really signify.
And that's what we want to see today. You're right, Dick. To set the scene, we're at the point where at last now the children of Israel are about to take actual possession of the good land. They've been, you know, journeying there for 40 years, and we've seen so many of the things they've experienced along the way. But now they're right at the door and getting more instructions from Jehovah before taking possession. Among these instructions is this provision calling for six cities to be set aside as cities of refuge. Let's read a little bit about it here in Numbers 25, and then maybe you can explain just what these cities of refuge were all about. Okay, in chapter 35, verse 10, it says, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall designate for yourselves cities to be your cities of refuge, that the manslayer who kills any person unintentionally may flee there. And the city shall be for you as a refuge from the avenger, so that the manslayer may not die unless he stands before the assembly for judgment. And the cities which you shall give shall be your six cities of refuge. You shall give three cities across the Jordan, and you shall give three cities in the land of Canaan. They shall be cities of refuge for the children of Israel, and for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them. These six cities shall be for refuge, so that anyone who kills a person unintentionally may flee there." Quite remarkable, Dick, the extent of this provision, isn't it?
It really is, Chris, and it mentions twice in these verses, unintentionally.
Yes.
If somebody kills someone unintentionally, well, this is a description of us. Who are we? We're just unintentional killers. Man in the beginning didn't sin intentionally, but he sinned, and we have inherited this kind of nature, And many times we do things with no intention, but we are the mistake-making men. We'll see this as we go on in the broadcast. But thank the Lord that He has provided a place for those who have killed unintentionally, like among the Israelites, and even for strangers and sojourners, that they could flee into and be freed from the blood that would be shed by the avenger of their mistake. So these six cities of refuge signify a lot, and we'll see as we go through this broadcast how they bring us in a precious way to Christ, to the triune God, as the one who is so available on this earth that we, as the mistake-making men, could flee into Him, find refuge, even enjoy direct, personal, real salvation. So these cities of refuge really mean a lot. I hope we're all exercised to receive the Spirit speaking from this broadcast.
Dick, as we join Witness Lee, I think one thing to point out for those who have been listening to this ministry now for any length of time, I think they realize not to overlook any of the small details, even the numbers associated here. As we'll see, the number six cities designated is very significant, and the fact that there were two groups of three cities, one on this side of the Jordan, one on that side of the Jordan, the number three also very significant, as we'll find out in this first portion. Let's join our brothers' fellowship today.
Now we come to the cities of refuge. These six cities are called cities of refuge because if you are a killer of a living man, you could flee into these six cities to get yourself protected from being killed by the avenger. Three beyond the Jordan and three in the land of Canaan. It's quite meaningful. The number six signifies man who was created by God on the sixth day and who made mistakes. You know, Adam sinned. In the eyes of God, there was a mistake. The number three signifies the triune God as the refuge for the man who makes a mistake. We all are men considered by God making mistakes. So He ordained some cities of refuge for us to flee into. It's quite meaningful, huh? Six cities in two sides. One side, three, on the east of Jordan, and one side, also three, on the west of Jordan. And the cities of refuge were not only for the Israelites, but also for the sojourners and strangers among them. It's quite meaningful, signifying that the triune God as the refuge is for all mankind. The cities of refuge were not for those who killed with an intention. As long as you commit sin in a foolish way, that is considered by God as without intent. Whose sin caused you to be lost? Adam. Was Adam clear about his sinning? He was altogether not clear. He was innocent there. And his wife said something to him, and he got induced. I don't believe Adam was clear. Anyhow, Adam ate that forbidden fruit. So Adam sinned without intention. We, as his descendants, did the same thing. We did things foolishly, we did things nonsensically, altogether sinful. But what? In the eyes of God, He considered us sinning without intention.
Boy, there's so many things here, Dick, that have significance. He seemed to pick up this matter at the end about the intention of the one committing the mistake. Let's start with that. We don't set out very often to do things wrong, to sin, to make mistakes. It just seems to happen that way sort of unintentionally, doesn't it?
It surely does. Even you are with your husband or your wife, you just end up saying something that you didn't intend to say, and boom.
Boom.
You've created a big problem. So yes, many times we're the unintentional, mistake-making people. That's our nature. But we have to say a million hallelujahs for these six cities of refuge. And I like these numbers, don't you, Chris?
Yes.
Actually, there's three numbers that are critical. 6, 3, and 2.
Mm-hmm.
The two indicates that there is a testimony. Two is for testimony. There's a testimony and declaration about the three. The three signifies the triune God. There's a testimony and declaration that the triune God is dwelling on this earth among human beings, and that the number six is man, who was created on the sixth day. So man is not only created on the sixth day, but we realize from the truth in God's word, he is the mistake-making man.
Right.
So there's a bold declaration and testimony in this chapter in Numbers showing us that the triune God is available amongst the human race on this earth to be fled into. He could be the refuge for all the mistake-making men. Any one of us at any time, wherever we are, could flee into him. You're from the north, the south, the east, the west. And I like these words. I think our brother used these. He's available and near. That's why we must shout a million hallelujahs for our triune God, our Christ, who today is the available refuge for all of us God-created, mistake-making men to flee into. And not only do we flee into him, we experience him, we enjoy him, and we're released. What a deal.
Boy, it's tremendous. I like all these numbers. I like the fact that it was for the unintentional mistake makers, which is us to a T.
Yep.
That's a perfect description. And anybody who's, as you said, married should be well aware of how easy it is to unintentionally trip up and cause a problem.
And, more than easy.
Yeah, and it was for the people on this side and that side. So no matter where we happen to be at this moment,
mm-hmm.
there's a place where we can take refuge, isn't there, Dick?
That's true. Wherever we are, our God as the refuge is available. Let's flee into him.
Dick, in this next section, we're going to touch another aspect of this picture, these six cities of refuge. This is marvelous. Verse 32, a little later on in the chapter, tells us, "And you shall not take a ransom for one who has fled to his city of refuge, so that he may return to live in the land before the death of the high priest." The point here, whoever took refuge had to stay there until the high priest died, and that terminated or ended his sentence. And we're going to see, again, tremendous significance to this aspect of the cities of refuge. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
The rescued killer was to remain in the city of refuge and live in it until the death of the high priest. You know, the high priest signifies Christ. So, until what? Until the death of Christ, who died for our sins. You know, Abraham, David, Isaiah, they were all kept in the city of refuge until Christ died. Now, how about us? Are we still in refuge? Our Christ has died already. Our high priest has died already. So, he is our refuge. But in New Testament sense, he is not the refuge. He is our direct savior. Today, because our high priest has died, not only died, also resurrected. Now we are in him. We don't need to remain there in the refuge, but now we are here in the direct salvation. Refuge and salvation are the same person. That's Christ, right? Christ was refuge to Abraham, to David, to Moses, to Elijah, but he is direct salvation to us.
Dick, let's talk about this distinction here. He mentioned these Old Testament saints. Really, they represent all of the Old Testament believers, Abraham and David and Isaiah, that he named to signify the others. In that sense, the cities of refuge were there to hold them. In the New Testament sense, since they had to be held until the high priest died, our high priest has already died and resurrected. Right. So this person who has become our refuge is not just our refuge for us, is he?
No, he's not just our refuge. He's also our direct savior and our direct salvation. The thing I really appreciate here is that for Abraham, Moses, and David, in a sense, it was just a refuge because they had to be kept there until the high priest died, and that high priest is Christ himself. So they were kept in this refuge. It's kind of like it says in John 10, God's people were kept in a fold.
Right.
But once Christ came and Christ died, the high priest died, then they're released from that keeping place and they're brought into a person. They're delivered from a place that was merely a refuge into a wonderful person who is their salvation. So today, we who are believers in Christ, we can say Christ is both our refuge and our salvation, our direct Savior. So for them, it was merely a refuge until Christ died. But for us, Christ is both our refuge and our direct Savior and salvation. And actually, the way to apply this, Chris, is to just tell the Lord, oh, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for being my refuge, for being my Savior, and for being my salvation. Thank you for your death, and thank you for your resurrection. Thank you for placing me in yourself. You've forgiven my sins, and you have released me. Oh, Lord Jesus, I love you. If you would pray in this kind of way, you would apply this revelation concerning the six cities of refuge,
right,
and enjoy Christ as the available near, dear refuge, Savior, salvation. So since he's been crucified and resurrected, we are now in him. We are today in the refuge. And the thing that I really appreciate, Chris, is this, that we are not waiting to go somewhere.
Right.
And we're not waiting to go to some place, but we are already, through the death and resurrection of Christ, in the most wonderful person in the whole universe. That's the triune God. For this, again, we have to say, thank you, Lord.
Dick, I have a feeling many are listening, and depending on where they might happen to be at in their walk with the Lord right now, they may have a real sense, I need a refuge. I need a place to take refuge.
That's right.
Well, I would just encourage them. Find that refuge in this person of Christ.
Mm.
And the city of refuge may sound like it's somewhat confining. They were limited to the boundaries of this city. But as we see, because the high priest has already died, actually our city of refuge is the place of unlimited freedom in Christ, isn't it?
That's true. This Christ can be enjoyed anywhere. We just need to be those who turn to him, turn our heart to him, and tell him, thank you, Lord, for being the reality of the refuge, the reality of salvation, and being my near, dear Savior. Lord, I love you.
Amen. Dick, we have one point left to go in this program today. Let me pick up a couple more verses and we'll get into it. In verse 33, it says, thus you shall not pollute the land in which you are, for blood pollutes the land, and no propitiation can be made for the land for the blood that is shed in it, except by the blood of the one who shed it. And you shall not defile the land in which you are dwelling, in the midst of which I tabernacle. For I, Jehovah, tabernacle in the midst of the children of Israel. What these verses will point out to us, as we'll see in this final section from Witness Lee, is the bloodshed by the avenger of this one who unintentionally had committed murder. That blood would pollute the land, defile the land, and that would limit Jehovah's ability to interact and bless his people with his presence. Therefore, these cities of refuge take care of not just our need, but also the Lord's.
Mm.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
The good land in which Jehovah dwelled in the midst of the sons of Israel. Don't forget, that good land altogether becomes God's dwelling place. And this dwelling place was not to be polluted and defiled by the blood, right, by killing a person to shed his blood. And such a blood was one for which no propitiation had been made. This kind of blood was a pollution in the eyes of God, was a defilement in the eyes of God. But by doing according to regulations concerning the city's refuge, there would be no blood shed on the land which was God's dwelling place. So the whole land is clean in the eyes of God. Well, by reading such a chapter, we all can see God's mercy and God's grace and God's wisdom, right? On the whole earth, in human history, there had never been such a country with this kind of regulations. It's very, very strange, particular with such a regulation to give six cities of refuge for the killers of men without intent to wait for the salvation to come. It's marvelous. And by this way, to keep that land, that peaceful land, always clean from being polluted and defiled, that God could be there with his people in peace. It's marvelous. Just with that little piece of land, so narrow, not more than 500 miles long, between Mediterranean and Jordan, the land was not more than 200 miles wide. It's such a narrow strip, but on it, to make a picture in the whole universe to show God's mercy, God's grace, God's wisdom, and God's sovereignty.
Well, Dick, I think we can all say amen to his word. There's no other place on earth with a constitution like God gave to Israel when the children were taking possession. But we have to see it in context of this critical point. In all of his economy, either in the Old Testament or the New Testament, what God desires is to dwell with his people in peace, doesn't he?
He surely does. This is the deep thought of God, to dwell with his people in peace. You know, it's one thing for us to have our need met. For example, we may have our sins forgiven. We're released from condemnation.
Right.
But how about God's need? God needs a dwelling place. And sorry to say, Chris, many Christians are ignorant of this point, but this is the deep thought of the whole Bible. In fact, the Bible ends with a new Jerusalem, which is what? The grand consummation and totality of God's dwelling place. That is, God himself dwelling in and with his people.
Wow.
So this provision of the six cities of refuge not only takes care of our need, freeing us from the avenger, and we're forgiven and we're released, but also it takes care of God's need, because then there's no blood shed in the land. And it's so good that the whole land signifies God's dwelling place. Why are we believers? Why are we Christians? The whole purpose of our being a believer is for the sake of God's dwelling place, which is his testimony on this earth and in this universe. So the Lord, by this provision of the six cities of refuge in typology, not only takes care of our need, but he also takes care of his need. So there's no shedding of the blood, because we can all flee into these cities. And again, these cities just bring us back to himself, the marvelous Christ, the marvelous triune God, into whom we can flee. And he's our direct salvation, our Savior, our enjoyment. What can we say about these verses from Numbers? We can only say that this provision of the six cities of refuge is God's mercy, God's grace, God's wisdom, God's sovereignty, and we have to say a million times, thank you, Lord Jesus, for such a provision.
Wow. Dick, what a hidden treasure this chapter has turned out to be.
Amen.
I think a lot of our listeners are feeling exactly as you and I are, that we are privileged and blessed to be able to handle such a marvelous unveiling of God's word, and with a direct, meaningful, profound application to us. What a joy to participate in this fellowship, Dick. Thanks again.
You're welcome, Chris.
All right, our time is over. We would leave you with our toll-free number and ask you to contact us. Of course, the printed message here, as I think you can imagine by now, is full of the riches as this portion was opened up. We'd like to see you get all of these life study messages. They're a marvelous resource for you. You can get into them at your leisure, at your pace, and touch and investigate and examine all these riches for yourself. The toll-free number, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Our mailing address is Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. And our email address is radio@lsm.org. We hope you'll take the time to contact us. It would mean a great deal to us. For Dick Taylor, I'm Chris Wild. Thank you very much for listening.
Into thy wise hands.
You've been listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, produced by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee ministered the Word of God for over 7 decades. Many consider these life studies as his seminal work, an exhaustive commentary on the entire Bible from the perspective of the believer's enjoyment and experience of God's divine life in Christ through the Spirit. If you'd like to find out more about Witness Lee, these life study messages, or any of the materials provided by Living Stream Ministry, please visit our website, lsm.org. That's lsm.org. You can also email us, radio@lsm.org, or call us toll-free, 1-888-LIFESTUDY. Thanks for listening.